Blog Talk Radio.
Certainly do need devotion by the looks of it. The evidence doesn't lie. My name is Yom Tov Reed, and this is the Real Talk for Real People show, a show that is designed to give you a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, and how your relationship would be with him and or each other and strangers, different nations. That being said, before we get started in our studies today, you already know I like to make comments about contemporary subject matters. I saw a satellite image of that ship in the Suez Canal. It's stuck. Seems like it's stuck from one end to the other at about a 90 degree angle. It's stuck. I hope you get it out. That's the whole thing I can say about that. And did you see the woman, the representative in Georgia, leaving on that midnight train to Georgia? Yeah, she left on that midnight train right out of there by two deputies right into the county jail locker. A representative complaining about Governor Kemp signing a set of series of laws designed to repress their votes. My question is, when are people going to stop lying to themselves and or each other? If they really wanted them to vote and to be a part of their so-called democracy, they would have been a part of it. They would have had to beg, crawl, cry, march, have dogs sicked on them, count jelly beans in a jar, count the bubbles in a bar of soap, poll tax, Jim Crowism, and a continuation of it. It would have gave it to them. So why are people so shocked and amazed? I'm not shocked and amazed in the least bit. I'm only shocked they didn't sick the dogs on and beat upside the head and hit her with the water hose. That's the only thing. Only difference. Had nothing changed. Nothing at all. As I said, my question is, why are our people continue to lie to themselves and each other, believing that they're part of the equation? You're not. You're prisoners. You're prisoners of war. And the wardens and the guards will give you whatever treatment they want to give you. Yeah, they'll let you walk around on the prison yard. They'll let you lift weights. They'll let you buy into their commissary. But you better not get on a catwalk talking about you a guard or a warden. They'll knock you right on off and take you on down to the lock up the hole, just like they took our dear sister and gave her two felony charges simply for knocking on the door. Knock, knock, knock. Who there? I am. Can I vote? Lock her up. And the fellows standing behind Governor Kemp, it told you the complete picture. Six white males, while he was signing those series of laws, that picture is worth a thousand words. Us, not you. Don't knock on that damn door. Okay. Let me bring my brother Fredo Cartrio from New York City. We get started now, studies. Cartrio, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Oh, praise the Holy One of Israel. We got Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yam Suf, may the Most High bless you. Shalom.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend. May it bless you and your family. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Ain't it ironic that they arrested that sister immediately? That's nobody at the Capitol building. It wasn't just knocking on the door, was it?
Look here, bro. They trying everything to do to get them out of there. I mean, they making every excuse to get them out there on bond and whatnot. You know? No, they were knocking some heads. She was just knocking on the door.
And trust me, the water hoses and the dogs are next.
Exactly. You better believe it.
But we trying to get in other people's business. We trying to be Democrats and Republicans, and they don't want us. Imagine our history. We trying to get involved with the Ammonites and the Moabites and the Philistines, and we bobbing to get with them. That's not what our ancient fathers did.
And they don't want you. They didn't want our ancient fathers. And these people certainly don't want us. Gotcha.
And we trying to force our way on them.
Yeah, man. Right. How you going to force your way on somebody that don't want you? And they show all evidence for 402 years of gap. They don't want you.
And no sign of change in them.
None. They have no intention on giving you what they call democracy. None whatsoever. So my question is, caught you again for the third time, why do our people continue to lie to themselves and each other?
They don't know nothing else. We've been taught lies, bro. We don't know nothing but lies.
Okay. All right. Well, it's just like that. That metaphor I always use all the time, Katya, about the fish born in toxic water. It doesn't realize it's born in toxic water because that's what it is. That's what it's born in. It doesn't know any better. Okay, I got you.
And it's not just Georgia that they're doing this. They're doing this in, like, practically every Republican state. So the war is on.
43, Cartrell. 43 states.
43 states, they're doing the same thing. Wow.
Exactly.
What that leaves, what, 7 or 8? That's not.
What'd that tell you, Cartrell? Yeah.
Their actions are so loud, I can't even hear what they say.
Man, I'm telling you, bro. Come on, now. But yet, we continue, Cartrell, to lie to ourselves and to each other. A sad state of affairs. And continue doing the same thing over and over again, Cartrell, expecting different results. It's an act of an insane person.
Well, you could see our ancient fathers was insane with these judges. As soon as the judge left, they went back to doing the evil that pissed the Most High off, right?
You sure know what to say, Cartrell. You sure know what to say.
That the judges wasn't perfect. You know, we think our judges was righteous and perfect. These brothers, they tried their best, but they wasn't perfect.
No, some of them were a hot mess, Cartrell.
Especially Gideon. Now we see the mess that Gideon created. He had all these sons. One of his sons killed his brothers, 70 of his brothers. That's madness.
Exactly. Exactly, Cartrell.
But they violated the Most High command. Don't worship other gods. Don't touch these other people's stuff. And Gideon was left. They named him Zerubbabel, and he ran with that.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Well, we'll find out, Cartrell, if you're done with your commentary, we'll find out how some of these judges were. And in Shofin, the 11th chapter, if you're done with your commentary, we'll get right into our set. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Cartrell. Thank you, fellow students. Get your books out. Chapter 11, Shofin. You call it Judges, but I gave you the correct name for it, okay? Yaphet, the Gileadite, was an able warrior who was the son of a prostitute. Yaphet's father was Gilead. But Gilead also had sons by his wife. And when the wife's sons grew up, they drove Yaphet out. Oh, that little bass around him. And they said to him, "You should have no share in our father's property. Your mama was a hoe. For you are the son of an outsider." So Yaphet fled from his brother and settled in the Tob country. Men of low character gathered around Yaphet, and he went out raiding with them. He joined a gang. He's sorry. Sometimes later, the Ammonites went to war against Israel. And when the Ammonites attacked Israel, the elders of Gilead went to bring Yaphet back from Tob country. They said to Yaphet, "Come be our prince so that we can fight the Ammonites, our kinfolk." Yaphet replied to the elders of Gilead, You are the very people, you Israelites, who rejected me and drove me out of my father's house. How can you come to me now when you're in trouble? The elders of Gilead said to Yephite, honestly, we have now turned back to you. We got our mind right. If you come with us and take the Ammonites, you shall be our commander over all the inhabitants of Gilead. Yephite said to the elders of Gilead, all right, farewell. If you bring me back to fight the Ammonites, and the Elohim delivers them to me, I am to be your commander. And the elders of Gilead answered, yes, Yephite. The Elohim himself shall be your witness. We make an oath between us. We will do just as you have said. We'll make you the commander. Yephite went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him their commander in chief. And Yephite repeated all their terms before Yah and Messiah. He let Yah know what's going on. Yephite then sent messages to the king of the Ammonites, saying, what have you against me that you have come to make war on my country? The king of the Ammonites replied to Zephite's messengers, when Israel came from Mezarim, they seized the land which is mine from the Arnon, as Jabbok, as far as Jordan. Now then, restore it peacefully. Yephite again sent message to the king of the Ammonites. He said to him, thus says Yephite, Israel didn't seize the land of Moab or the land of the Ammonites. Let me break it down to you like you're 4 years old. When they left Mizraim, Israel traveled from the wilderness to the Sea of Reeds. Then they went to Kadesh. Israel sent messages to the king of Edom, their brothers, saying, allow us to cross your country. But the king of Edom would not consent. They also, that man knew, he knew his history. They also sent a mission, unlike some of us, sent a mission to the king of Moab, their cousins. He refused. So Israel, staying at Kadesh, traveled on through the wilderness, skirting the land of Edom in the land of Moab. They kept to the east of the land of Moab until they encamped on the other side of Arnon, since Moab is at Arnon. They entered Moabite territory. Then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of Amorites, the king of Heshbon. Israel said to him, talk about us as a nation, not a singular person, allow us to cross to your country, to our homeland. But Sihon would not trust Israel to pass through his territory. Sihon mustered all his troops and had kept at Yahaz and engaged Israel in battle. But Yah, the Elohim of Israel, delivered Sihon and all his troops into Israel's hand. And they defeated them. And Israel took possession of all the land of the Amorites, the inhabitants of that land. Thus they possessed all the territory of the Amorites from the Arnon to Jabbok, from the wilderness to Jordan. Now then, the Yah of Elohim of Israel dispossessed the Amorites before his people Israel. And should you possess their land? Do you not hold what Chemosh, your God, give you to possess? So we will hold on to everything that Yah our Elohim has given us to possess. Besides, are you any better than Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he start a quarrel with Israel or go to war with them? While Israel was inhabiting Heshbon and its dependencies, and Oreah and its dependencies, all along the Arnon for 300 years, why have you not tried to recover them all this time? 300 years have went by. I have done you no wrong. Yet you are doing me harm and making war on me. May Yahoo judges decide today between Israel and the Ammonites. Then the king of the Ammonites paid no heed to the message that Yahphite sent him. Then the spirit of Yah came upon Yahphite. He marched through Gilead and Manasseh, passing Mesphath of Gilead. From Mesphath of Gilead, he crossed over to the Ammonites. And Yahphite made the following vow to Yah. Be careful of your vows, my brothers and sisters. If you deliver the Ammonites into my hands, then whatsoever come out the door of my house to meet me on my safe return from the Ammonites shall be yours and shall be offered by me as a burnt offering. Be careful of the words that come out of your mouth when you're making the oath to Yah, brothers and sisters. Yahphite crossed over to the Ammonites and attacked them. The Elohim delivered them into his hand. He utterly routed them from across the Arroha as far as Minith, 20 towns, all the way to Abed Sharamim. So the Ammonites submitted to Israel. When Yahphite arrived at his home in Mesphah, there was his daughter coming out to meet with him. With the tremble and the dance, she was happy. Her daddy had won the war. She was her only child. He had no other son or daughter. On seeing her, he rent his clothes. But he was a man of honor, even though he was born to a mother of prostitution. This man was a man of honor. Be careful who you turn an eye down on. You can't judge a book by its cover. On seeing her, he rent his clothes. And he said, "Our last daughter, you bought me low. You become my troubler. For I've uttered a vow to Yah, and I cannot retract it." "Father," she said, "you have uttered a vow." And this girl was an honorable girl. This young lady, even though this man was born to a mother of prostitution, this was an honorable man, unlike some of us. The young lady said, "You've uttered a vow to Yah. Do to me as you have vowed." Because you know Yah don't play. "Seeing that Yah has vindicated you against your enemies, the Ammonites," she further said to her father, "let this be done for me. Do this for me. Do me a favor, father. But I want you to honor the vow. Let me be for 2 months. And I will go with my companions, my girlfriends, and lament upon the hills, and there bewail my maidenhood." "Go," he replied. He trusted his daughter. He let her go because she was an honorable young lady. He let her go for 2 months, unlike some of our young ladies now and young men. He let her go for 2 months. She and her companions, her girlfriends, went and bewailed her maidenhood upon the hills. After 2 months' time, she returned to her father. He did to her as he vowed. She had never known a man. So because of that, it became a custom in Israel. Now, we ain't got no customs, eh? We don't have any culture worth mentioning. We call it black culture, but basically it's a hot mess. This is culture worth mentioning, real culture, honorable culture. So it became a custom in Israel for the maidens, for the young ladies of Israel to go every year for 4 days in the year. And Chet Darej for the daughter of Yahphite, the Gileadite. Katria, my dear brother and friend, what say you about this honorable young lady with this honorable father, although he was born to a mother of prostitution, although the men of his town run him off because they didn't think he was all that. They didn't think he was something special. They cast a disparaging eye upon this young brother who saved Jezreel from the Ammonites. What say you, my brother and friend?
Well, you could tell the staker was broken because he vowed to offer the first thing that came out of his house.
Exactly.
Which showed that he had a rough life. And anybody would be broken if your brothers rejected you, calling you the son of a whore, calling your mother a whore and all that. You would have feelings. Feelings run behind that. You know how
right.
cool people could be?
Right.
Which is why he wound up where he did. Like you say, he joined a gang.
Yeah, he joined the West Side. But I guess his reputation, whatever gang he was in, Katria, his reputation preceded itself because the elders went to him. So whatever gang, he must have been in the toughest gang in the territory. Cause his
he was the toughest dude in the gang.
That may be it, Katria. He may have been Suge Knight in the gang.
And they heard about his reputation and they knew that he wasn't no joke.
Right.
And his fallacy was that he really didn't consult the Most High properly.
Exactly.
Most High already told him, you know, that he would get the victory. He emboldened him. He gave him that spirit of strength.
Right.
But then he had doubts in his mind. If you give me the victory against the Ammonites, and that showed that he had doubts. That I was sacrificed the first thing that comes out of my house.
But you know what, Cartrell? And I apologize, my friend and brother, for interrupting. But you got to give him credit for this. He knew Israel's history, didn't he? Far more than some of us do.
Yep. And it shows you they were there for a long time, 300 years. That's almost as long as we've been here. We've been here a little bit longer than that, right?
That's a good one, 102 years more, but 300 years, and this son of a prostitute, the father of the Israelite, but yet he knew the history of Israel. That says something about him. And I said that in his defense with his shortcomings. At least he knew our history, unlike some of us.
And so did the king he was writing to, but guess what?
You sure
he
right.
Sounds, but damn about that. Damn about that.
Right, he said he didn't respond to the last statement. I don't care about none of that. Yeah.
Nope. And then he got his butt whipped, didn't he?
What'd you say, Contrail? The king said, I don't give a damn about none of that. I know y'all history, just like you know y'all history. And I know you know y'all history, but I don't give a damn about none of that because I'm coming over there and I'm taking that land and that debt on it. I like that, Katja. What did you say, Katja? He didn't give a damn about no history, okay?
Nope. It's like now. They don't give a damn about our history. Trying to tell them we Israelites. They don't give a damn. We don't care. Yeah, terrorists. That's what y'all are. No, we're not terrorists. We're Israelites. We're trying to tell you we want our heritage back. Y'all terrorists. Y'all black identity extremists. We don't give a damn about what y'all saying.
You come up in this Capitol on a vote. I got some for you.
They arrested that sister right away. They ain't take no time. They ain't wait to call the National Guard. They was down on a spot with her, son.
Bro.
She's a legislator.
Yeah.
She's one of the officials.
They rest that sister so fast. That time I went and got a soda pop or a glass of water. They walked down the hallway.
Yo. They arrested her faster than Mike Tyson and Joe Lewis used to knock people out, son.
they showed it. And she was, Cadrea, she... But what was amazing to me, and I love this sister because she is sister.
And she had a right to be there. Anybody had a right to be there. If she's a legislator, lawmaker.
But you can see the surprise in her eyes. I mean, she had the mask on, but the eyes were saying, for real? For real? For real? I mean, you can see the surprise in her eyes. Man, for real? And the other lady taking the picture was saying, nah, they ain't gonna arrest her. They ain't gonna arrest her. The hell they didn't.
And they charged her with two felonies. What's the felony charges?
Obstruction of justice.
What justice?
First, you got to have some justice to obstruct. You can't get nobody no water standing in line for 4 hours. 8 hours. You better not give them no damn water. They fall out in that damn line. That just we'll pull them over out the way. They didn't vote that day. These are some wicked people, man. Do y'all understand? Yes, these are some wicked people. These are some wicked people, and you're trying to be part of their democracy. I mean, if they wanted you to have democracy, they would have gave it to you 402 years ago. These people don't want you to have any democracy. I wouldn't want it anyway. Not where they control it. And then the sister's knocking on the door. Knock, knock, knock. Who's there? I want to see you sign the papers to stop the series of votes and whatnot in Georgia. Lock her up. And what the? And I'm going to ask this question.
Somebody called 911 and said we got a nigger patrolling the halls. We need to pop up.
Contrail, what am I asking this question again for the fourth time, Contrail?
Huh?
I'm going to ask this question again for the fourth time tonight. You see how these people operate. What possess you to think that they're going to give you democracy? And why you keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, 402 years and counting, and expecting different results? If they wanted you to have their democracy, they would have gave it to you. You wouldn't have to beg for it. You wouldn't have to march for it. You wouldn't have to have the dog sicked on you, the water hose sicked on you. You wouldn't have to be beaten, burned, killed, lynched, and so on and so forth. And now, recently, locked up two fellas just for knocking on the door. Come on now. Stop lying to yourselves and to each other. Just these people things. Oh, they'll let you walk around the prison. They'll let you buy in their commissary. They'll let you fight each other on the prison yard. But they be damned if you come up on those walkways and talk about you one of the guards or one of the wardens. They'll throw you off that walkway and take you right down to the hole, just like they took that sister in Georgia. Right down, even though she was a representative, they took her right to the hole. Two felonies for a whole lot of nothing. You better not get those people no water in line. Well, the people been in line 9 hours. I don't give a damn. Let them fall out. They missed the time to vote. Just pull them out the line and somebody walk over and y'all keep voting. These some evil people, man. Real evil people. You want to be a part of them. Young Soup don't want to be a part of them. What about you, Cartier? You want to be a part of these people in their democracy?
Never have, never will be.
Cartier, would you knock on that door, Cartier? The governor's kept door. Tell him you want to see. Would you knock on the door, Cartier?
I would have been like the people in the Capitol building looking for heads to hang.
You need to stop it, man. You need to stop it. Cartier, have you any more? Go ahead. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
I just lost my thought. She was an officer in the prison. She got a position as a prison officer. She's a legislator. She's a lawmaker.
Goddamn, she wasn't no officer in the prison. She just a trustee. That's a difference between a trustee, Cartrell, and an official officer, a guard, and a warden. Yeah, a lot of us got trustee status. And with trustee status, they got money. They got a nice cell to live in. But that's it. You just a trustee. As long as you understand your station, you are right. Try to get out of trustee status and put on one of those guards uniform or put on one of the warden uniform and see what happened to you. Just like that happened to that poor sister in Georgia. Leave it on the midnight.
In your analysis, it shows you their mindset. They look at us less than them.
Exactly.
We're underneath them. We're not equal to them. Even though the Constitution and the Bill of Rights said that all men are created equal, we have constitutional and civil and all these different kind of freaking rights, they still look at us as less than them.
You showed over the center, brother.
Trust us. Trust me. Without us, they wouldn't be the people where they are in the position that they're in, a superpower in the world, superpower nation. They exploited us for 400 years, got rich off free labor. And still, you know, they taking half your check now. We ain't getting no check, but now they're taking half, even before you get it.
They tax your check, what, about 8 times before you get it?
You got to pay taxes when you go to the store. You got to pay taxes on your house. You got to pay taxes for your children's education. So by the time you look at your check, you can't even, what you going to do? It's like Swiss cheese.
You in debt. Godreal, are you done with your commentaries on chapter 11? If you are done with your commentaries, we're going to proceed right on.
Yeah, the brother's name is Jephthah, not Japheth. Jephthah.
Okay. Thank you, Godreal, for the comment. Thank you for the correction. And, you know, I don't mind being corrected, Godreal. Unlike some of our brothers and sisters, they hate correction. But the book of Proverbs said, wise men love it, correction. I love it. You know why I love it, Katria? Because Yah said, accept it. A wise man accepts correction. A fool hated correction. What it say? You can beat a fool. It ain't going to do you no good. You can correct a wise man and they become wiser. You can beat a fool and they're going to still be a fool. But thank you for the correction, Katria. I said that to make a point. And I hope the students understood this. This is part of your open book test. Because it should become a innate part of your nature. That's about being humble. That's about you want to know something. You want to know better. And when you want to know something and you want to know better, even a little child can say, hey, Mr. Yumsu. I say, yeah, son, what's going on? Mr. Yumsu, you called that lady so-and-so. That's not her name. I saw, is that right, son? I do apologize. What's her name? Thank you, son. See, everybody can correct you, but a fool cannot be corrected, contrary. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, I know that.
Okay. that's why they fools. All right, chapter 12, may the Most High bless us by the study of his word and most importantly, the application of said study. It does you no good to hear about it and do nothing about it. The men of Ephraim mustered and crossed the Jordan to Zephon. They said to, what is his name, Katya?
Jephthah.
They said to Jephthah, why did you march against the Ammonites, our cousins, without calling us to go with you? We are burning your house. Here we go. We always love to fuss, fight, and sometimes kill one another. For nonsense.
Did they bring the same complaint to Gideon?
Yeah. Oh, we got something. Man, we are arguing with a stop sign, some of us. And, you know, the evidence speaks for itself, and the residual effect is seen all around our settlements in these Western Hemisphere. We are fighting each other. We are, even other places, Cotchware, get a machete. We are machete. We'll cut women's arms off. I mean, we'll do some dirt to one another. I mean, come on now.
That was the complaint. That he beat back the enemies that was oppressing them? You got a problem with that?
Yeah, they got a problem with it, brother. They're arguing with a stop sign. Then they come to this brother, man, all jazz and tested. Why did you march against the Ammonites without calling us to go with you? We'll burn your house down. Ooh, whoa.
Now they make a threat.
This very man who saved you, mind you, who has to, because he spoke rashly, has to sacrifice his daughter because he vowed to Yah, and you can't vow to Yah because every word that come out your mouth, you make a vow to Yah, you got to follow through with it. Now, either he's already done the vow or he's going to do the vow, and the man is in a troubled state of mind. If he done the vow, burnt offered his daughter to Yah, and he had
his only child.
His only child, whom he loved dearly. And this man ain't got no time for that nonsense. This man has saved y'all, And you got something to argue about that? So we'll burn your house down around you. over you. Jephthah answered him. I and my people were in bitter conflict with the Ammonites. And I summoned you. But you did not save me from them. He said, I summon y'all. But y'all didn't come to me. I summon y'all. But when I saw that you were no saviors, you wouldn't come to help me. I risked my own life and advanced against the Ammonites. And y'all delivered them into my hands. Why have you come here to fight against me? I didn't save y'all. I didn't send a summons to y'all. Y'all didn't come to me. And I risked my own life to do what I need. I saw need being done. I wasn't going to wait on y'all. Now here y'all going to fight me. And Jephthah gathered the men of Gilead and fought the, and fought the Ephraimites. He fought his own folks because they came to fight him. He said, if you're looking for trouble, you come to the right place. Something like that ever trust. And the men of Gilead, the men of Gilead defeated the Ephraimites. For they had said, you Gileadites are nothing but fugitives from Ephraim. Y'all ain't real Hebrews anyway. Just like some of our people said today, Carter. They said
they're all from the same tribe.
Yeah, hold on.
This is one tribe.
Why are you shocked, Cartrell?
Huh?
They said that. Well, I remember when you was on that television show, and you were talking about us, and here we come with our attitude, just like these brothers. Who are he here? He ain't no real Hebrew.
he ain't even got a Bible in his hand.
I don't know why you shocked, Cartrell. Okay. You should be the least one shocked.
No, I'm not shocked. I'm just saying how shocking our people have been from ancient times.
Yeah, they still are. And they say, you Gileadites are nothing but fugitives from Ephraim. Y'all ain't nothing. Being in Manasseh is like being in Ephraim. The Gileadites,
they brothers.
The Gileadites held the forts of the Jordan against the Ephraimites. And when any fugitive from Ephraim said, let me cross, the men of Gilead there would ask him, are you an Ephraimite? And if he said no, they would say to him, then Shearbutlah. But he would say, Shearbut in a different way, a different pronunciation, just like Cartrell said things in New York City that Yom Suf says in Memphis. Cartrell may say it with a different pronunciation, and Yom Suf may say it with a different pronunciation. Same thing.
These brothers couldn't pronounce the H. They said, say, Shebo-leh.
Right.
And he said, Shebo-leh.
That's what I'm saying, Katya. By you being from New York City,
right,
and we still brothers, and you in prison New York, and Yom Suf in prison Memphis, Tennessee. And you're going to use that as a way to say, I'm not Hebrew? Yom Suf, you didn't pronounce his name right. You ain't no Hebrew. Some of us do this. always looking for the little petty stuff. But
they were separating the dudes that was against them.
Exactly.
And
now this was serious. Not like us. We're quite petty, some of us. And not even too able to pronounce it correctly. Thereupon, they would seize him and slay him by the force of the Jordan. 42,000 Ephraimites fell at that time. Jephthah led Israel 6 years. Then Jephthah, the Gileadite, died. And he was buried in one of the towns of Gilead. After him, Abzan of Bethlehem led Israel. He had 30 sons, And he married all 30 daughters outside the tribe, his ancestral house, and brought in 30 girls from outside the ancestral house for his sons. He led Israel 7 years. Then Abdan died and was buried in Bethlehem. After him, Elon, the Zebulunite, he led Israel. He led Israel for 10 years. Then Elon, the Zebulunite, died and was buried in Ajalon, in the territory of Zebulun. After him, Abdon, son of Hela, a Parathonite, led Israel. He had 40 sons, 30 grandsons, who rode on 70 jackasses. He led Israel for 8 years. Then Abdon, son of Hilia, a Parathonite, died. He was buried in Parathon, in the territory of Ephraim, on the hill of the Ammonite. We're going to end right there. And but I'm going to ask Cottrell, fellow students, and we're all we're students for life. You'll never graduate from here. You'll never get a certificate. But I want to ask Cottrell. Cottrell, what is your commentary on what we just read and studied on?
Well, these last set of judges that we read about, you see that there was no incidents with them, even though they judged Israel for a short period of time, 7 years, 10 years. What was the last one?
Abdon. Yeah, Abdon.
But you could see that there was a sense of peace during their time of reign.
Right.
Israel wasn't fighting one another like they were prone to do because they were jealous of one another. You fight the Amalekites, you didn't call me. And then I go to war with you. I'm
you didn't summon me. I did summon y'all. I ain't had time to wait on y'all, okay? I put my own life in to fight the other.
He disregarded all that he had called them. They said he didn't call them, but he did call them. They didn't go. He went out and won. And now you got a problem because he won. And now you want to fight him. And because you fought him, you cost 20-something thousand men their lives.
Is for nonsense, but that's what we used to, Katria.
Yeah.
Just like when you went on that radio show to defend Israel, defend the honor of Israel, and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. You went on that radio show at your own risk of your own character, and brothers and sisters had something to say about that. The apple don't fall far from the tree, Katria. Be assured of that. Okay.
Yeah.
If you don't have the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov in you, and you don't have a new thinker like King Darwood had, a thinker that loves the Most High with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your brothers and sisters as yourself, you just talking loud and saying nothing. Go ahead, Cottrell. That's what we do, Cottrell.
We can't blame the white man.
No. The white man don't make you treat me the way you treat me.
Not at all.
Or treat my women, or us treating our women the way we treat our women, or treating our children the way we treat our children. White man ain't making you do all that. Or taking care of your community, your settlement, the way you're taking care or not taking care of your settlements. The white man ain't making you do all that. Shooting in the neighborhood, setting drift and prostituting our women. The white man ain't making you do that. You're doing that all on your lonesome. So don't blame the boogeyman for everything. The boogeyman got a lot to own up for. But I always said, Cottrell, what part do we play? And we certainly do play a part, Cottrell. Okay?
I will say this, though. When the Most High was with a brother, our people recognized that the Most High, or sister, that the Most High was with that brother or with that sister.
Exactly.
That's why they became judges.
Do you think, Katria, I want to pose a question to you. Do you think the brothers and sisters in Babylon realized that Yah was with Mordecai and Queen Esther?
No.
You don't think they realized it?
They probably don't even know the story of Queen Esther and Mordecai.
I mean, I'm talking about the brothers and sisters at that time. At that time in those settlements, in those Hebrew settlements, Do you think they realized that Yah was with Mordecai and Queen Esther?
Absolutely. Because they listened to their instructions. Mm-hmm. They could have said, who do y'all think y'all are? You married to the king of Babylon. You going to try to tell the Israelites, and you married to the king of Babylon? Why should we listen to you?
Right.
Queen Esther.
Yeah, so they were sort of cut from a different cloth, unlike us.
Oh, they were under duress. And their lives were at risk.
We're under duress, contrast. Our lives at risk.
Yeah.
Why are we any better? Okay? We're under duress. Our lives are at risk.
Every day.
Why aren't we any better?
Our thinkers are way broken, more broken than their thinkers were broken. And their thinkers are broken too, but not on the same level. At least they had a sense of unity and they knew who they were.
And it was one for all and all for one. Okay.
Exactly.
Unlike some of us in our many splintered groups. Oh, okay. I got you. Okay.
We trying to join with the other nations, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the formula. And we see we get mad trouble every time we try to join and do what the other nations are doing. Y'all told us not to do that.
Or either do what we want to do.
Or do we want to do how we want to do it.
We're going to read in this study here, the apple doesn't fall far from the truth. Tree, and it says, every man did what they wanted to do. Just like we're saying, Cottrell. Follow along in these studies, we're going to find out. We aren't the only ones, Cottrell. Every Hebrew Israelite was doing whatever they wanted to do, whatever worked for them. But it didn't work for them. It worked on them. And it's working on them.
We're talking about a 300-year period when we get up to Jephthah.
Exactly.
Like you said, 300 years now we've been in this land. And
right.
We've read the stories of the judges that came before them, how the judges came, how the people went back to worshiping idols, how they cried out because Yah made the other nations oppress them. Then he sends a judge to deliver them. And it's a pattern for 300 years.
Right.
300 years, that pattern?
Right.
We should be ashamed of our food.
Well, the only consistency that we have in these patterns, we go right back to our mess.
Unfortunately.
And which has an effect, a residual effect upon all of us, Cottrell.
Now we can't even get out of the mess.
We're in a hot mess, can't get out of it. Sister's knocking on governor's doors in Georgia and takes right to the hole.
Ladies get shot in the head.
Yeah, ladies shot, our sister shot in the head in the bed. Mind his own business. Little boy can't pick a tulip. Standing waiting on his school bus, a little six-year-old boy, can't even pick a tulip. They take him downtown.
They arrested those mass shooters without killing them.
No, bro. They part of the team. They can't hurt the team, bro. They can't hurt the team. They trying all kind of ways to get them out. The judge is trying to find a way to get them at home arrest. Couldn't have been you. Couldn't have been me. It certainly could have been that sister in Georgia knocking on that door or that little six-year-old boy picking that tulip in the yard. Okay? Don't get it twisted. You ain't part of the team, Cartrell. Once we understand that, we'll be better off. You'll never be part of the team. Oh, you'll be a good inmate. Maybe they'll let you be a trustee, meaning you can be a good basketball player. You can be a good entertainment football player. They'll let you get a little riches, but don't get beside yourself and try to get on the catwalk, okay? And think you a god or a warden. They'll take you right to the hole. Ask Bill Cosby. Ask Michael Jackson. Ask O.J. Simpson, okay? Don't get it twisted, okay? Don't forget who you are. They know who you are. Unfortunately, Cartrell, some of us don't know who we are. That's the problem. All right. Cartrell, if you're done with your commentaries on subject matter, we'll conclude on the last study session, which is in the book of Proverbs, because we need some wisdom and understanding, Cartrell. And I have to concur with you. I have to concur with you on this, Cartrell, about Fool's Book. But I had to stand in the gates on Food Book. Somebody got to stand in the gates. I don't fuss, fight, and argue with them on Food Book. I just go there and talk about wisdom and understanding. Talk about I'll be constructive and a positive. But I don't go there to argue, fuss, and fight with anyone. I don't go there to talk anything disparaging. I just go on Fool's Book to put Yah's word out in wisdom and understanding. But I have to concur with you. It's not called Food Facebook or Food Paradise for nothing, okay? Because every kind of food there is there. You ain't lying, my brother. You ain't lying. Okay, Godrell, we're ready for your next series of studies.
And you know, you post so much on Facebook, maybe you should post some of the wisdom of King Solomon for the fools that's out there.
I do, Godrell. If you break down what I'm saying, my brother, if you break down what I'm saying, you'll know I'm talking about Yah. You know I'm talking about King Solomon, King Dawood. You'll know what I'm saying. But see, since people's fingers are broken, they ain't hearing what Yum Su saying. They ain't seeing the wisdom of what Yum Su said. That I put on Fool's Book today, I think, Cartrell. I say a fool tell all he know. Ain't nobody said nothing because they know they fools.
You know why the fools tell all they know?
They ain't gonna touch that Cartrell.
You know why they tell all they know?
Why is that Cartrell? Yeah, I don't get no lax.
A fool gonna tell all that he know.
Yeah.
To try to prove that he's wise or knowledgeable.
Exactly.
So fools run their mouth to try to prove themselves knowledgeable and wise.
Well, I know I don't know nothing. Only thing I know what y'all give me to know, Cartrell. That's what I know. I know what y'all gives me to know, and that's good enough for me. And it makes me wise as taking this wisdom of King Solomon and King Dawood and so on and so forth. So the wisdom I've acquired throughout the year, speaking from experience and observation, looking through the lens of the words of Yah, I see things quite clearly. Remember that song back in the day, Cartrell, we used to sing? The fifth dimension.
I can see clearly now. The rain.
No, it's not more like that. It's that I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. That's how it goes, Katria. Okay. That's what Yah words does for me. I don't know what he does for anyone else, but it gives me that peace of mind and gives me some perspective when I see the world falling in line, and I see everything through the lens of Yah's eyes, through the word of Yah, and I can see everything. I can see how they moving, how they operating, and so on and so forth. I can see the walking dead walking, and they're dead about everything and anything. And I can see where they're going to fall off the cliff and so on. But you know what, Cartrell, as we say on this show, you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make it drink. So the only thing we're required is you and I, men, and sometimes women come on this show, our sisters, and women, Sister Adora, Sister Judith, and so on and so forth, Sister Avia from New York City. Only thing we can do is put the water out there. We can't make them drink. We're just putting the water out there. That's the only thing we're required to do, put the water out there. Even on Food Book, I put water out there. But like I said, I don't get no lax. They don't lack me. But I'm good with that. Because I know that they don't when they start lacking me, I got a problem. That means I'm not saying what Yah says. I'm just saying what Yom Suth is saying. And then, you know, that ain't going to work for me. So that being said, Cartrell, we need to look through the lens of Yah's eyes. Give us some proverbs, okay?
And that's the real key element, because we don't know nothing about Yah. At least our ancient fathers knew about Yah. And they would always cry out to him. Our people don't know nothing about Yah today. And we crying out to Jesus and Muhammad and Buddha and everybody else, but in the wrong direction. Like you say, we're moving in the wrong direction. Our people don't know that direction to move in. At least our ancient fathers knew the solution and they used the solution. And the fact that King Solomon left us the pathway back, because the only way we're going to reconnect with the Most High is with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
So, hallelujah. Amen.
The path to that is in the book of Proverbs, written by our King, King Solomon. And we give thanks to the Most High for the blessing that he left us. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeks an intermeddleth with all wisdom. So in order to attain wisdom, you got to separate yourself from the foolishness. It says a fool hath no delight in understanding. So there you go. We were just talking about that, right?
Amen. Amen.
But that his heart may discover itself. So they're self-centered and they don't really want to understand. When the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with ignominy reproach. So yeah, wicked people, they like to debate and argue and fuss and fight rather than come up with solutions, concrete, that's going to help us as a people. And it's a reproach. We're stuck in stupidity. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, which is why Jephthah had to sacrifice his daughter, which he didn't want to do. You have to watch what you say, because your mouth are as deep waters. If you step in deep waters, you can't swim. You're going to drown. And the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. So you have to speak to wise men. You have to go to wise sources, which is why we're in the book of Proverbs with the wisest man that ever lived, according to people. They say King Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. It is not good to accept the persons of the wicked. No, you can't just accept them. You can't go along with them. That's how our people got in trouble, as we're reading about in the Judges. It's not good to accept people of the wicked. And the people they were accepting were sacrificing their children to fire gods and the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites. These people were wicked.
They still sacrificing their children, Cartrell. They sacrificing their children to the gay parade, pedophilia, and so on and so forth. Gangs, murder. So they still sacrificing their children. There ain't nothing changed. We just following suit.
We're not putting our children on the path of righteousness. We're telling them they could choose their gender. Whether you male or female when you're born, you could choose to be switched to be a boy, or you could switch to be a girl. Who said that? Where'd that come from?
That's come from them. And if they said it's good, some of us go right along with it.
Yeah, and fight for it. Like, you ain't down with the program, bruh. No, we're not down with that program. Sorry. You could call us whatever you want. Homophobic. We're not scared of homos. Trust me. You know that what they're doing is abominations of the Most High.
No, I'm not scared of a homosexual. I mean, just because I don't believe in a lifestyle, that doesn't make me scared of them. I mean, I don't agree with your lifestyle. Why I got to be scared of you because I don't agree with your lifestyle? That don't really make no sense, Cartrell. Oh, you scared of me because you don't like my lifestyle. No, I'm not scared of you because I don't like your lifestyle. I don't want no boyfriend, okay? And I think what you're doing getting a boyfriend is not right. What is you saying, man? Yup, Soup is homo. He is what homophobic?
Yeah.
I ain't scared of no homosexuals, man. Okay? I just don't agree with the lifestyle. And I don't want a boyfriend. So why you gonna try to put the onus on me? Why the onus ain't on you? You the one doing it. Not you, Cartrell, because I know you ain't down with that. No Hebrew brother is down with it. I hope not. But
I got a wife, man. I've been married almost 40 years now, bro.
I know that you like me. My fiance passed away in 2011, but I still don't want nothing. I don't want to hug on nothing hard, man.
That smell like me?
No, dog. I want something soft. You know, you feel
come on, man.
Smell good, look good.
Come on, man.
Yeah, you feel me? I want something soft, smell good, look good. You feel me, brother?
Yeah.
So, but does that make me scared of someone that indulging in a homosexual? No, I'm not scared of you. I just don't agree with your lifestyle. I think it's wrong.
And the Most High says it's wickedness. It's an abomination.
Right.
And it's not good to accept the persons of the wicked. So we can't accept it because we're following Yah.
Exactly.
To overthrow the righteous in judgment. So we stand in for righteousness. And guess what? They want to overthrow that principle. So they call you homophobic.
Oh, that's
like
right.
You, imbalanced, or are you some weird dude because you're homophobic?
I am weird. I am imbalanced, but I'm weird and imbalanced in a good way. Okay? Okay, Kadri, I'm going to tell you this. If they was to lock me up and loving women and dating women was a crime, here's how it would go. They would lock Yum Suf up. Yum Suf, you've been found, convicted, and you loving them women. That ain't what you're supposed to do. You got 10 years. I go to parole board, I guess 7 years down the road. I said, I've learned my wicked way. Yum Suf should have loved them women. Because I need to join the gay parade. Yum Suf just don't love them women no more. I don't even look at them. Guess what the first thing Yum Suf going to do when he get out of prison, Cartrell? I'm going to catch another charge. I'm going to get with them sisters again. I'm going to catch another charge, brother.
You sound like the governor of New York. Come on.
Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you, I'm catching another charge. They going to say, Yum Suf, you going to be over there marching in the gay parade? What are you doing over here with these women? I'm going to catch another charge, brother.
You're sitting in the cell with Bill Cosby.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. You better know it.
Yeah. A fool's lips enter into contention. And that's all you get on fool's book, contention, right?
Exactly.
But, most I said, a fool's mouth calls for strokes. They should be beat down for what they're saying.
Exactly.
A fool's mouth is his destruction. So all these fools on forward, let them keep talking. It's going to destroy them. It's like it almost destroyed Jephthah, right? What came out of his
exactly.
mouth. He couldn't take it back. And his lips are a snare of his soul. So we're talking about not just your life, but your soul. What you say in your mouth, out your mouth affects your future. I'll put it that way.
Exactly.
The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. So when people start talking about other people to me, I kind of like tune them out because I don't like to hear the stories about other people as if I'm going to judge other people hearing your side of the story and not the other side of the story. If I'm a judge, I'm going to hear both sides of the story. Right?
Unlike you, I don't want to hear that. And both of y'all ain't coming before me to get a judgment on the situation, I mean, a balanced weight. I don't want to hear what he said, she said. Don't be coming to me talking about what Cartrell said. Now, if you and Cartrell come to me and y'all tell me the story, then I can give you a balanced judgment. But I don't want to hear none of that he said, she said. I don't want to hear that. Look, I ain't got time for that.
And where do most he said, she said situations wind up?
A hot mess.
You said it up. A hot mess.
A hot mess.
It says the words of a talebearer are as wounds. So you don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear what they have to say. You got to watch your words and what you're talking about and what you're listening to. They go down into the innermost part of the belly. Once you hear them, it's like
you can't
get
them. So I don't want to hear it. If Cartier comes to me, I got something to tell you about Avias. Hold on, Cartier. You know, I love you, man. You know, I love Avias, too. Whatever you got to say about Avias, what you get with Avias, y'all got something to talk to me about, y'all come rap to me. Otherwise, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear no he said, she said, bro. You know I love you. Get shut off my back. But once I hear it, I can't get rid of it. I don't want to hear that. And see, but a lot of us are gullible. We like to hear mess. We like to hear mess because we raised in a messy country. And so they messy, we messy. And it ain't working for them. It certainly ain't working for us. We just like them. They messy and we messy. It's a hot mess.
I'm going to tell you a true story about tailbearing.
Okay.
So I'm from New York City. I grew up in Harlem, right?
Okay.
I went to college in a suburban area called Westchester and Mount Vernon, which is where I live now. They had a community college.
Right.
And there were some Israelite brothers up here that knew that they were Israelites.
Right.
And Israelite brothers, where I came from, was telling me not to deal with them because they worship Jesus. Don't get with them. They worship Jesus, blah, 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 blah. And they never even met these brothers.
Right.
But they were tail-bearing, not knowing the truth of the matter. So
right.
I'm running the Zoney Square Mile, so I'm running into these brothers all the time. So
right.
I'm like, I got to stop and talk to these brothers and find out the truth.
Right.
So long story short, come to find out these brothers don't worship Jesus. They worship the Most High, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they're doing way more positive things than the Israelite brothers that I was around in the city. They elected the first mayor of the city. They initiated community programs for the people. They were doing positive things in the community, and the people were looking to them as a light. Matter of fact, they set up a private elementary school where the people of Mount Vernon were sending their children to this school, and the children were graduating, you know, higher than their grade level. So,
well, Katrina, I can agree with you on that. And I'm going to tell you this. I've been a victim of so many tailbearers. They should write a book, Yom Suf and the Tailbearers. I've been a victim of it, of so much of my life by so many brothers and sisters that don't know me. And they have said things, well, Yom Suf, and hey, then you hear people say, hey, don't talk that Yom Suf. That Yom Suf on that Get Real Talk Show. That Yom Suf, he don't be saying what y'all said. And that's the only thing that Yom Suf said, what y'all said.
How could you miss that? We've been straight through the words of y'all.
Yeah.
I mean, we just reflect on that.
What y'all said. You know, I ain't going to say nothing but what y'all said. I'm going to make commentaries on it. But Yom Suf ain't going to tell you to do nothing but what y'all tell you to do. And Yom Suf can't tell nobody to do nothing anyway. But Yom Suf going to say that what y'all told you to do. That's all Yom Suf going to say and get out your way. But even that being said, Katrina, you've been a victim of it too. Like I said, when you were on that that radio show and those brothers and sisters, I saw some of the comments after that you had posted on YouTube after that conversation with that white guy. On the show, who he think he is? He don't even know you. I've been saying I'm not a Hebrew Israelite. Who are they to tell me what I am? They don't even know from tribe what they from. That's all I know. I do know that. I know I'm a Hebrew Israelite. I may not know what tribe I'm from, but I do know that. And you didn't put me in it, and you can't get me out of it. And that's dead on that. That's all I said about it, Katrina. You didn't put me in it, and you can't get me out of it. And that's dead on that.
I don't need to walk around with a Bible in my pocket to explain my ethnicity and nationality.
Katrina. I'm thinking about that. I'm just thinking about what you just said. I can see the brothers and sisters. I can see the prophets walk around back then with scrolls in their pockets, proven by those scrolls that they were Hebrew Israelites, by those scrolls alone. That's a Hebrew Israelite. How you know? He's got a scroll in his pocket. Now, y'all need to quit it. Go ahead, Kajah. Finish up, bro.
Because what they don't really know is that the Bible is in my heart. I could talk to you all day about the scripture without even having a scripture.
Bingo. There you go.
I could talk to you all day, every day about the scriptures without even having a Bible in my hand. That's how much I study. Huh?
You not no Hebrew Israelite, Katrina. You ain't got no scroll in your pocket. You ain't got a scroll in your pocket. I mean, I never read that anywhere. I never read that in my studies. But you don't have a scroll in your pocket, Katrina.
So what's a Russian supposed to walk around to explain that he's Russian?
He speaks Russian?
What's the Japanese supposed to walk around with to explain that he's Japanese, his nationality and ethnicity? What book he's supposed to walk around with?
They speak and live Japanese?
Well, I wasn't speaking Hebrew. A lot of Japanese don't know Hebrew. I mean, Japanese.
No. But they
live in other places.
They live the lifestyle of a Japanese. So,
there's Japanese here in America.
Yeah.
May not be able to speak Japanese. But their roots and culture is Japanese.
That's true. But like I said, Katya, we didn't put them in it, and we can't take them out of it. As in our case, they didn't make us Hebrew Israelites. Yah did. Yah put us in it, and Yah can take us out of it, and that's the only one to keep. Everybody else needs to be about their business, living Yah, instead of trying to berate other brothers and sisters and trying to judge other brothers and sisters as if you know. As if you got a hotline to Yah. Yah calling you. Hey, bro, what's up, Yah? Yom Suf, not a Hebrew, is like, I'm going to let everybody know. Unfortunately, Katya, that's what we do. Some of us are self-righteous. Instead of living it. And living it means loving Yah. Just like King Dawood said, Katya. King Dawood said it. Give me a thinker that loves you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and my neighbor, which is my brothers and sisters, as I love myself, then I ain't going to treat them any kind of tacky old trashy old way. But unfortunately, they don't have those thinkers, Katria.
And that's why you could see that King David was a great man, because he could have went to war with King Saul easy and killed him. Just like we're reading about in the Judges, where Israel went to war with each other. You got the tribe of Ephraim.
He had him to the right, Katria. I mean, King Saul coming to the cave to urinate, and King David, Dawood, hiding in the cave. Matter of fact, he cut a piece of his garment off to prove to him, hey, I had you. But it ain't like that. If y'all ain't told me to touch this anointed, I ain't going to do that. Leave me alone, King Saul. Leave me alone. I had you.
Not only did he have King Saul, he had his men too, and he didn't kill none of his men. And his men weren't anointed. He could have killed all his men and left the king alive, but he didn't did he?
But see, that's a brother loving his brothers, his neighbors, as himself, Cartrell. And some of us don't get that, Cartrell. We do a whole lot of talking about y'all, but we don't understand the concept about y'all, the core of the apple about y'all. Not only loving y'all, you got to love your brothers and sisters like y'all, like you loving yourself. You ain't going to treat yourself no any old way. Why you
can't
gonna
have one without the other.
Right. And you and King Dawood understood that.
Can't have one without the other.
It ain't no me without Cottrell. It ain't no me without Aviyah. It ain't no me without any student that is listening on this show that is Hebrew Israelite. I ain't nothing special. It ain't no me without them. And King Dawood got it. And that's why Yah said, this man is a man after my own heart, my own mind, my own thinking. Not only do he love me, he loves his brothers and sisters.
And his son, King Solomon, loved us enough to leave his wisdom behind so that his people could recover from the madness that we find ourselves in now.
Amen. Katria, I sound like Spanky on the Little Rascal. Amen. You know, on the Little Rascals.
Yeah, Spanky. Yeah, you're a funny little guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, Musa saying that he that is slothful in his work is a brother to him that is a great waster. So if we don't work to get ourselves out of captivity, we're wasting our time. We're wasting our time trying to join the democratic American system. We're wasting our time. The name of Yah is stronger than a strong tower. And that's where our ancient fathers ran to when they got in trouble. After they put their idols away, they ran to Yah because he is a strong tower who will defeat all our enemies by ways and means we don't even understand. It says the righteous runneth into it and are safe. So where are you running to?
Yah.
Are you running to the name of Yah?
You better be, if you ain't. You better believe it.
A rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as a high wall in his own conceit. Yeah, so rich people think that their money is going to protect them from the adversities in life. But Yah has plans. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. And before honor is humility. Two different poles. Before destruction of a heart of a man is haughty. It's like Pharaoh. He hardened Pharaoh's heart, and all of Egypt was destroyed. And when you see people getting haughty, they're about to be destroyed. Like the governor of Texas, the man is real haughty. In the face of all that has gone on in the history of America, he's still trying to belittle our people and call us three-fifths of a human being, in essence.
Mm-hmm.
And humility is the greatest challenge to our people. But if we humble ourselves, we will get honor. Because before honor, before you get honor, you need humility.
Exactly.
He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Which was what the dude on Fox tried to get me to do. He's showing me all these videos of these brothers on the street talking to people. And he wanted me to make a judgment. And if I had made a judgment before I saw the whole thing, I would have looked foolish, right?
Right.
So I can't judge what's going on unless I see the whole matter. That's what we were talking about with talebearers. You telling me one side of the story. What about the other side of the story? Somebody said there's three sides to every story. Your side, his side, and the truth. Right? You heard that before, right?
I've heard it. And it's true. Yeah.
It's definitely true. Because everybody got their own perspective of what happens. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Okay? So some people get sick, but they have a spirit that overcomes their sickness. Some people always look to be sick, you know, even when they're not sick.
Mm-hmm.
But a wounded spirit, who can bear? So we know that Jephthah had a wounded spirit because his brothers treated him terrible. And the Most High looks down on brothers, or looks at brothers who have wounded spirit. Because something similar happened to Joseph, where his brothers hated him and sold him and told his father wild beast killed him. Something similar happened to Jephthah. His brothers basically kicked him out of the family, called his mother a hoe.
Mm-hmm.
Shame on him.
Yeah.
It says, because that wasn't Jephthah's fault that his father went with the woman that was his mother, right? That wasn't Jephthah's choice.
No, it wasn't.
To the earth. Huh?
He could determine who his mother was.
Right. You can't choose your parents.
Right.
So why would you put that on him?
Mm-hmm.
Your mother's a hoe.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you make that man feel that? And that will wound your spirit. Your brothers don't love you.
Yeah, you would feel some sort of way.
Huh?
You would certainly feel some sort of way.
And trust me, we have stepfathers and stepmothers and half-brothers and half-sisters, and these type feelings go on in these families, don't they?
They certainly do, Carjo. Speaking from experience and observation.
Yes. It says, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. So you have to be prudent, and you have to be wise, and you have to be continually seeking knowledge. There's a saying that goes, the more you know, the more you know there is to know.
The more you know that what you don't know.
Right. I never thought I would ever become a bookworm until I went to college and I fell in love with books, like my father. My father had a library, a personal library in his house. And he used to buy us a lot of books. But when I got to college and saw that library, man, I was in heaven.
Gautreau, I've been
all the knowledge I can attain right there in that place.
I've been a bookworm since C. Dick, C. Saturday, Run Spot Run, C Spot, C. Dick, C. Saturday, Run Spot Run. I've been a bookworm since then.
Yeah, Dr. Seuss and all.
Oh yeah, Cat in the Hat.
Did you subscribe to the Highlight?
Did I what country?
Remember the Highlight magazine?
Oh yeah, I like Mad Magazine. I like cartoons. I like Whippy Longstocking. I like the Weber Web of the Pig,
Batman, Superman,
Web.
Iron Man.
Yeah, Charlotte's Web.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, I liked it all, man. I just was an avid reader. I ain't really stopped. I just got into it early on.
You read Edgar Allan Poe?
Man, I'd read everything. Well, I'm lying right there. Hold on. Y'all, please forgive me. I've read a whole lot of things, okay? I read thousands and thousands of books.
Yes. So, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. So you always have to seek knowledge. You can't think that you've arrived and you know everything, because that's when you don't know nothing, when you think you know everything.
Exactly.
A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. So everybody is born with a gift. You just have to find out what yours is. My family is very talented artistically. My brother is an artist that's off the chains, and he takes after my uncle, whose artistic work was off the chains. And all of my uncles and aunts, they all had mad gifts and talents. And you just have to find out what yours is, because you can't be somebody else if that ain't your talent.
Exactly.
You have to develop the talent that the Most High has given you. And we can see that with our people, we were very talented. They told us we couldn't play baseball. We couldn't play basketball. We couldn't play quarterback. We wasn't good enough to be coaches. And the gift that the Most High has given us shows us in the world that we do have those abilities, don't we? To play a quarterback, to coach, to play basketball, to play baseball. Because they try to psychologically wipe us out and say we were inferior. We couldn't do. We wasn't equal to the white man. But we proved that. But we have gifts too. And guess what? It has made us room. And we've been brought before great men with the gifts that Yah has given us. Praise Yah.
Yeah. Right. Praise Yah, Contreras. And I have to concur with you. Each of us got talents. We need to find out what that talent is. And even you said, well, Yam Suf, I'm in my 60s. So does that make the talent you have any less talented than it is, unless you? I don't care if you're 60, 70, 80. If you ain't found what your talent is, why don't you find out what your talent is and become proficient at it? Yah gave you a talent, find out what it is. Become proficient at it.
And instinctively, you know.
Yeah.
Instinctively, you know. It's just whether you want to pay attention to it or not. Some things you do better than other people do. It says, he that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searches him out. So everybody going to stand up for themselves and, you know, act like they're correct. But if there's a witness that can verify that what you're saying ain't true, then that blows you up, because people have been watching you. They're not, you know, going to listen to just what you say. They're going to listen to what other people say about you. A lot causes contentious to see and parteth between the mighty. I don't understand what that means. The lot causes contentions to cease and parteth between the mighty. So I guess when you cast lots or draw straws, it causes contentions to stop because you leave it to chance. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. So we have that example tonight with Jephthah, right? He was definitely offended. But
yes.
He put conditions on them. You want to win me back, then make me your leader. See how really humble you all are. So they won him back because he did lead them, and he lived up to their word. It says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the food of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Then the value of what we say and how much impact what we say affects our whole lives. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Here we go again. So what you say might kill you or bring you life. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So you might love to talk a lot, and your talk might be wicked and perverse, and you love that, but that's going to bring you to your destruction. Or you might be speaking about the fountains of living waters,
And the more you speak about that, the more positive things will happen in your life, and the closer you will be to the Most High when you speak positive things.
Mm-hmm.
As a man thinketh, so is he.
Mm-hmm.
Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor of Yah. So it's not good that man should dwell alone. Every man, every woman should be joined with a companion lifelong. Animals do it, right?
Exactly. Can I make a comment on the contrary? And I love
you. Yeah.
This implies, infers, and suggests that a man must be looking. When you find some, that means you're looking for some. If you ain't looking for nothing, you can't find nothing you ain't looking for. So if you ain't looking for it, you ain't going to find it because you ain't looking for it. But if you're looking for it and you find it, and it's a good thing because she's a good woman, by significance, you found favor from Yah. That's the only thing I got to say to country.
How many women are looking for a husband?
I don't know. I'm not a woman.
They outnumber the men. I'll tell you that.
I don't know that. We got competition now, bro.
That's true.
We got other
and then
nations.
We got women saying they don't need a man.
Right. We got other nations. We got two girls playing on the same team. And we got some of our sisters saying she don't really need a man. So, like I said, Katra, we a hot mess in this nation. We messy. We under messy people, and we became messy. Okay?
Because we follow in the Greeks, Greek fraternities, Greek philosophy, the Greek Empire, the final fourth kingdom.
That's what they do.
The Greeks were perverted.
That's what they do.
So whoever finds a wife finds a good thing. Yeah, a wife gives you peace of mind. A good wife.
A good one.
And it takes stress out of your life.
It certainly does.
And when you don't have stress in your life, you have peace of mind, and you can meditate and commune with the Most High. Yah favors marriage between a man and a woman so that you can build a family and have children that serve him. Our children are Yah's servants. Our children belong to Yah, which is why he wants us to find wives, not girlfriends.
No.
Right?
No.
Not concubines.
No, not concubines.
Not a honey on the side.
No, not a side piece.
But to find wives.
Exactly.
To start families. Have strong families. These brothers and judges, they weren't playing around. They had 30 sons and 30 daughters. Yo, 30 sons and 30 daughters. Wow.
Them boys putting in work, man.
Incredible. And they wasn't embarrassed about it. Nor was they worried about the financial aspect of having 60 children. They were just having them. And they were being blessed.
They could afford it.
Yeah. The poor uses intrigues, but the rich answers roughly. So, in other words, the poor always is begging. He's making intrigues, inquiries, putting out propositions. And the rich people usually, they're not too kind in
doubling
out their riches.
Look at Donald Trump. I think I rest your case, Katja. Look at Donald Trump.
Yeah, when the rich people come with their hands out to him, he so willingly, freely gives to them.
Right.
But as far as giving to the poor, they've never really given to the poor. And we still asking for reparations, aren't we?
Exactly.
But y'all going to answer our call. You're going to answer our cry. And they're going to have to pay.
Did you hear Herschel Walker? Herschel Walker and some other fellow was on television talking in defense of not giving our brothers. No, I don't even like that word. Giving our brothers and sisters compensatory justice that equal to what we should be getting. Compensatory justice. Neely Fuller Jr. used that word, and I like to use it. Compensatory justice. And I want to say I want to say out, and I want my voice to go out. I want these brothers universally to hear my voice. Whatever you don't want, that's fine by me. Whatever you think you don't supposed to get,
That's all right with me. But please, don't speak for Yom Suf, okay? Don't speak for my family. Because I want everything we supposed to get and then some. Thank you very much. Go ahead, Contrell.
Yeah, Herschel Walker is good, you know. He's a millionaire. So he ain't feeling the pain of his brothers and sisters that's struggling on a daily basis just to put food on the table, to pay their rent, to keep their lights on, to send their children to school, to get a good education. He ain't got to worry about none of that. Herschel Walker is good. So he's basically a puppet for the system to pacify our people and make us think that we should be satisfied with what we got. But what we really want is our, you know, divine inheritance. Forget, like you said, reparations. Give us back what Yah gave us. And in order to get that, we have to earn that.
Exactly.
We ain't getting that by osmosis. We need wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to reconnect to our powers because we've been disconnected for so long. So now it's time to try to reconnect. And that's what we're doing, attaining wisdom, knowledge, understanding. And Most High showing us that the foundation of what we should have is wives, not girlfriends, not, you know, girls we done hit up and knocked off and had children by, but they're not our wives, not common law wives, but family structure in the nation of Israel, in our communities, man and woman being married. What kind of impression would that be on our children?
Amen. I agree with you, brother, 100. And a good wife is good to have because, you know, it's they good to talk to. They give you perspective. They give you their perspective. And you can trust in their counsel because they're on the same team. Then they good. They smell good.
Uh-huh.
And they smell good. And they soft too. You know what I mean? So yeah, I have to agree with it. They smell good. They smart. They intelligent. They look good. They smell good. And they soft too, okay?
Not only that, but they don't understand that feminine power has power. Femininity
exactly.
has power. These women out here trying to be men. These young daughters out here trying to be equal to men and not trying to be wives. It's like a competition. It's
mm-hmm.
not meant to be a competition.
Exactly.
And that feminine power is strong.
It certainly is. Speaking from the observation, it certainly is. Yes, sir, Eva. They got power. Them sisters got power. But now, it could be a bad power like Jezebel power, or it could be a good power like Queen Esther power, depending on
right.
where you want to be powered up.
And really, Queen Esther wasn't queen of her own nation. She was married to the king, and he had many wives.
Mm-hmm.
She was just one of his, but
mm-hmm.
no nation really puts their women on top.
Right.
There's no nation that puts their women on top. And our women have the mentality that, at least Western-minded, that they should be on top.
You're talking about Western-minded or Eastern-minded?
Western-minded. Oh. Western-minded.
Oh, okay.
But the Most High created our sisters to help us, to be helpmeet, and to be fruitful and to multiply, to build
right.
solid families. And
to be
natural.
I mean,
it's natural.
Right. To be equal. To be equals. She was taken from his rib. She wasn't taken from his foot bone. She wasn't taken from his head bone. She was taken right from his side. Side by side, together, she doing her thing, he doing her thing, they all doing everything together for one thing, togetherness. You feel what I'm
and
saying, bro?
It's
yeah.
not good that he dwells alone or that she dwells alone. That's not the formula.
Exactly.
Everybody has a part to play. And
right.
I always refer to the Lion Kingdom. The female mm-hmm. lion, she's the boss.
Right. Really?
She's the boss.
Yeah.
Huh?
He's just a
female
bodyguard.
Lion is the boss. Yeah, he's the bodyguard.
That's
he's
all
the boss.
Yeah. She runs
he respects
that.
Her greatly. He don't use his power and his weight and his strength and his muscle over her.
No. Why should it? She worked for the home team. What do you got to abuse her for?
Matter of fact, she uses her muscle and her might to straighten him out most of the time.
Yeah, she get him told. Go there and watch him bacon. I gotta go get some bacon. He go there and watch the babies. But now she called out, I got trouble. Hyenas is in for some real heartbreak hotel, bro. That's the only thing I'm going to tell you. And she cried out, I got trouble.
He come running.
He put them babies up in the cave right quick and shoot out there, man. You think a rocket ship shot of there. You know
big
what I mean?
Afro and all.
Unlike some of us. Our women call, man, I bail out. I get out. Yeah, I get out. We done changed a lot from the tribe of Yehuda. Now, I don't know whether or not I'm from that tribe, but I know our brothers from the tribe of Yehuda done changed quite a lot. All right, Cottrell, if you're done, we're done.
We got one more verse.
Okay.
The verse says, a man that hath friends must show himself to be friendly or to be a friend. And there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother.
Exactly. Yeah, come on. If you're talking about you my friend, you got to show me you my friend. I ain't got to talk to you every day. But when I do talk to you, you got to show me you my friend. You know, and I got to show you I'm your friend. You can't just say, yeah, I'm super my friend, but you real hostile toward me, real unfriendly. Now, that ain't no friend. You got to show yourself a friend. Can't be all hostile, I call you. What's up, Cartrell? Yeah, man, what's up? What you calling me for? I'll go on, bro. You really ain't showing yourself friendly, bro. What if Cartrell?
Let's talk about Job and his so-called friend.
Oh, Lord. No, let's not talk about it. Let's not talk about it.
That's
not
how our friends do, right?
Yes, because they have a fair weather friend like Job had, okay? Now, Job was more a friend to them, and we found out in the end of the studies of Job that he was much more a friend to them than what they were of him, okay?
And he was closer to them than their own brothers.
Exactly. And he forgave them for all intents and purposes. He forgave his friends. Yeah,
some brothers don't forgive another brother. Some family things go on until the people die.
Exactly. And Job went through a lot of trials and tribulations, and yet he forgave those brothers. That's a real friend, Cartrell. Real friend.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, Cartrell, we get
to see brothers ain't always close. Because Abimelech killed how many of his brothers? Woo-wee.
Yep. Jerubbaal's son. Yeah, his son was killed by Amalek. 70 sons.
70 brothers.
70 brothers.
Except one.
Mm-hmm.
Who
and
does
he,
that?
People ain't got their mind right. Their thinkers broke.
Crazy.
Crazy. Well, Cartrell, we don't have that much long. So if you like to give praises and thanksgiving to Yah, we always do that on Families Night. And if you like to give some praises to Yah and thanksgiving.
Every day. I just thank and praise to the Most High for life, my breath, my health, my strength, and to the blessing that he's given to my family for the same thing, life, breath, health, and strength, that he hasn't afflicted us with the pandemic that's out there. He's shielded us and guarded us. And I thank him for looking out for our people, even though we're in captivity, that we can even still communicate with each other and reach out to him and study him and learn about him, even in this prison system that we live in under, and we're able to express ourselves. And we know that his delivery is coming soon because he said it would. So I give honor and praise to him for keeping his word to us, seeing our history played out as we live it, that he was actually true to his word and he never lied. And we have hope in his word that he will deliver us. And we pray that he gives us strength to have a mindset that's like King David and like the judges that were right with him, so we can reconnect with him and do what's right and pleasing in his eyesight, not worry about what people's opinion or what they're saying about us.
Amen. Well, Cartrell, sheep bagging, because we don't piggyback here, sheep bagging of what you just said, that last statement, and thanks to Yah for giving me a new thinker, a thinker that loves Yah like King Dawood said, with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and my brothers and sisters, as I love myself, directing and ordering my step, helping me to guard my tongue, helping me to control my anger, and not leaning to my own understanding. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for humility. I'm thankful for mercy. I'm thankful for kindness and knowing when to exercise it. And I'm thankful for continuing to be in this education class, which I would never graduate from, nor you, my fellow students. You would never graduate from your class. It won't stop till the casket drops. And so for Yum Soup, it won't stop till the casket drops. We will ever be in this class, ever evolving. I want to thank y'all for that. I want to thank y'all for our international students and our national students. We are happy that you find that these classes are informative. Our commentaries are filled with wisdom and understanding. Very informative. And that you sense the love and compassion that we have for you, that you keep coming back. Well, Avia, now don't have me waiting all day long. You got anything to say, my sister? You know, if you got something to say, you know, you take long time waiting on to hit your button. You got something to say. So if you got something to say, you want to come on and say it? Otherwise, okay, she got something to say. Sister Avia, we love you. May the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, Sister Avia. May the Most High bless you.
Shalom, brothers, and may the Most High bless all. So, I just wanted to say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
And hallelujah.
All praises to the Most High.
And hallelujah.
And y'all doing such a great job. Just keep on going. I woke up this morning praising y'all. I do it every day, but today seemed like I just had to throw something up in there. Esther, I just kept praising all day long while I was out walking, while I'm in the house walking. I was just feeling extra good today. And I know it's only by God that I was feeling that way. I don't know, it felt like some kind of burden was lifted. I don't know what burden, but something felt like it was lifted. So again, hallelujah.
That's a good thing, Avia.
And
it's infectious because you can hear it all in your voice. I started singing because you just so happy. I started to sing.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Right.
So hallelujah. And
hallelujah.
Shalom, brothers. Keep it on. Keep going.
Thank you, Avia. And Avia, we're thankful for you for being there to keep us on point, because sometimes Cartrell and I, we are so deep into our studies and whatnot, we'll forget what we yet the next day. And we're thankful
I'll
that
just
you
bless to be your servant.
To keep us on point. Thank you very much, Avia.
Thank you.
All right. Shalom.
Avia, one question.
Avia.
Yeah.
Andre, what's up, sir?
What you think of these judges that we're reading about?
What do I think of them?
Yeah.
What you mean, what I think? Well, I think them some fools keep turning around and doing the same, going against God's word, not listening to following directions, hard-headed, stiff-necked fools. That, you know, it seems like the more they be told how to do something, they turn around and do the opposite. So I can understand why, like you say, even today, we're still doing the same thing.
They was doing it for like 300 years, according to Jephthah.
Yes. And
300 years.
When I make a move now, I stop first and I wonder. I say, now, is this what y'all would have me to do? Is this part of y'all's law? Is this right? Is this wrong? But
you better be praying.
These people don't believe. These people can go ahead and do what they want to do today.
No, that ain't right. You better be praying and ask y'all.
Okay? That's right. That's what I do. Sure enough, look. You know, I was one of them hard heads sitting there. But
okay.
I had to learn too, and I listened. And there's no way I could go back doing the same thing that I know y'all wouldn't have me do.
Hallelujah.
Praise
all
God.
Right, Abby. All right, Abby, y'all. All right, Katria. I want to thank both of you. I want to thank all our students, our international students and our national students. I want to thank our universal students. May the Most High bless you. May he direct you. Order your steps. Stop leaning to your own understanding. Why? Because your thinkers are broken. Do like King Dawood did. King Dawood knew he got himself in trouble with y'all. Instead of keeping on doubling down on being in trouble with y'all, King Dawood humbled himself because he wanted a close relationship with y'all. He asked y'all for a new thinker, a thinker that loves y'all with all his heart, all his mind, all his soul, and all his strength, and his brothers and sisters as himself. He knew that was the only kind of thinker that was going to work. And by virtue, y'all said, he's a man after my own thinking. That's what you need, a thinker like your king. And if it was good enough for your king, it certainly should be good enough for you. We love you. May the Most High bless you. And shalom. Good night.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string. One that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home. One that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you want to be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say you're moving on. Then you say I've got other plans. Oh, 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 girl, oh, you're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction. So far away from me. You're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction. So far away from me. Does it mean?
when you say you want to be free. Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction. Well, you're moving, well, you're moving, well, you're moving away so far.